Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show today. It's the start of a brand new week, Monday. And yes, I'm very angry. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm having a bad hardware day just before we went to broadcast time. I got this little pocket USB backup drive called the Transcend StoreJet. And I bought it specifically because the guy at the store said it's extra rugged and it'll last forever and it's tougher and whatever, and I've had it about a month, and it just died, and everything on it I did have backed up other places except for the music, the MP3s that I put on my iPhone, and I just found out you can't copy the music from your iPhone back to the computer, and worse, next time I sync the iPhone will erase all the music files on there, and so it's like this dead-end situation, and yes, I've got the music on the original audio CDs, but I'm not looking forward to having sit there and put CDs in the computer, CD after CD after CD for a couple of hundred of these things to rebuild my library, and it's just reminding us all that we as a nation are in such an incredible decline. We can't build products anymore. We can't design and build products and get them into the store that actually last. And yes, it's under warranty, and they'll send me a new one, except I don't want a new one, because the new one is going to be just as flaky as the current one. And it's so frustrating. We, the people, we're trying as hard as we can to get our businesses going and make money to pay all these bills and all these taxes that are being dumped on us, and we are crippled by technology that is so value engineered we can't get going. We are spending more time working on the tools than getting the tools to do the work that we paid them to do. And it's you know, whether it's Vista or this equipment that's just failing at such a high failure rate. And I, you know, everybody knows the reason I don't go to Best Buy anymore. Had a computer monitor, died one day out of the 30-day store return policy. I mean, everyone relies on the warranties. Yeah, we're putting out a ton of crap in the store there. And yes, about, we calculate 15% of it will fail. But hey, bring it back. We'll give you a new one. And of course, that'll fail and so forth and so on. And we're struggling with so much adversity. We really have become just like the Italians. I use the Italians as a model because the Italians, for a while under Mussolini, they were fascist. We are going into a fascist economy, and inevitably, we are showing many of the same symptoms. We have products in the store that look fabulous. They're designer this and designer that, and they are all crap. They're falling apart before we can even get them home. And I'm very, very angry, and like I said, I've got the music on the audio CDs. But I am now, in order to get it back onto my iPhone, I got to sit there for hour on end and put the CDs in the thing and just, it's annoying me. So if I sound angry, that's why. I'm not angry with you, my listeners. I love all of you. And if it sounds like I'm short with you, it's got nothing to do with you. I'm just ticked off at the hardware. Anyway, welcome to the show. Inauspicious start, though, it is going to be, and we got a lot to talk about. The chat room is open. The webcam is running. The phone lines are open, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room keeping us out of trouble. Good luck on that one today, Matt. And we're going to get right into here to the news. Now, first of all, we are hearing from the state of California, which is where I used to live, where I was living when I met my wonderful wife, Claire. The joblessness rate has hit a 70-year Hi. We are, of course, getting an incredible spread of numbers. We're getting official government numbers saying, well, it's about 20% unemployment. And then we're getting these other organizations who are saying that 4 out of every 10 or 2 out of every 5 working-age Californians cannot find a job. We've been saying all along the official numbers are a little bit inaccurate because it's not including people who lost high-paying jobs to take low-paying jobs. It's not including people who have run out of the end of the benefits, which is a growing number of people now. It doesn't include the people who simply quit looking for work because they can't find anything. But we are hearing that in California, 2 out of every 5 working-age adults cannot find a job, 40% right there. We've gone past Great Depression. We can either call this the Great Recession or Great Depression 2. We are there. This is the worst economic time in the nation's history. Thank you so very much, Congress, for repealing the Glass-Steagall Act. Thank you very much, George Bush, for giving tax breaks to corporations that encourage them to offshore our high-paying jobs. Thank you so very much for such wisdom in ruling this country and managing its economy. We are in such a mess. One out of every four Federal Housing Administration mortgage loans is in foreclosure or delinquency. One out of every four, 25%. 25%. And that's not counting the fact that as we get to the end of this month, all of the option adjustable rate mortgages are set to reset end of this month. Now, it would almost seem like the banks, if the banks don't want a bunch of new foreclosures on their books, that they're going to go out to these homeowners and say, we need to adjust the interest rate. We need to perhaps soften the blow of the option arm. But we're facing two problems. One, these mortgages are being managed by computer systems who are thinking solely in terms of maximizing the profit. That's what they've been programmed to do. They're not programmed to look at the larger picture of economic harm of allowing the process to continue unabated. They're not programmed to be aware of these kind of considerations. Second, because so many of these mortgages have been securitized and bundled and put together into these mortgage-backed securities, and they've been bought and sold all over the place, nobody knows where the real mortgage contracts are in many cases. So they can't modify them, even if they wanted to. We are trapped in this nightmare, this impending explosion of adjustable-rate mortgage figures. We're trapped by the way the whole business was handled. They have created a disaster. They don't know how to undo it. I think that's why they're pushing to try and get into, you know, a war as quick as they can. Meanwhile, over the weekend, we got this news that the International Monetary Fund has decided to sell 403 tons of gold. Now, the official reason is they want to boost their lending capacity to poor countries. Now, first of all, the International Monetary Fund is supposed to be getting its lending capital from the member nations, who get it from their reserve banks, who make that money by printing it up out of thin air. That's the way the system works. So the IMF, why is the IMF selling all this gold? And even more telling, why are they announcing it ahead of time? Because here's my theory. I think the goal here is we've seen gold go through $1,000 an ounce this last week. People are leaving the stock market and they're buying gold. They're buying precious metals as a hedge against inflation, which is a very smart thing to be doing right now. So what the IMF is doing by dumping 403 tons of gold on the market, they want to depress the market. And it's probably going to succeed. Even the announcement is driving the price back down. They could just announce they're selling 403 tons of gold. The price is going to go down. They don't even have to actually sell it. They could wait till the gold gets to a low price and say, well, we changed our mind. The damage is already done. And here's the point. If the IMF really just wanted to raise money, they would just start selling their gold. They wouldn't announce it. We saw Great Britain did this a couple of years ago when they unloaded a bunch of their gold onto the market to drive gold prices down. They announced it ahead of time, and gold futures plummeted. And when Great Britain actually wound up selling its gold, it got less for it. And the same thing is going to apply here. The International Monetary Fund has hurt its own bottom line by announcing ahead of time they're planning this huge sale of 403 tons of gold. Therefore, we are left with only one possible conclusion. Only one possible conclusion. The goal of the announcement, the goal of the sale, is to drive gold prices back down again to prevent people leaving the equities markets and buying gold. See, if people are pulling their money out of the banks, they're pulling out of the investment houses, they're pulling out of all these little financial instruments of Wall Street, and they're putting their money in gold and silver and platinum and tantalum and canned foods and shotguns, which is where my money is going, then the banks are going to collapse again. The financial, how the investment companies, they don't have money to play with. Because remember, as absurd as the fractional reserve limits are, the ratio, if they don't have any money to play with at all, they can't put out the manufactured fake money on the loans. They have to have real deposits of something in there. And if people are pulling their money out of the banks and going into gold, because gold is hanging on to its value, and the dollar is not, then that spells trouble for Wall Street. And I think this is the reason the IMF did this brain-damaged announcement. They don't expect to make money from this to loan to the poor country. They're just flooding the market with gold to keep the gold prices down, to trick everybody into keeping their money into the investment banks, the banks, financial instruments. That's what they're doing. We're going to be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back to the show here. Now, probably, if you're anything at all like me, and if you are, seek help, but I digress, you're probably as tired of hearing the word bailout as I am. Every time we hear the word bailout, I mean, I can just feel my wallet shrinking another eighth of an inch. You know, it's a dirty word. It's become the curse word, you know, of the 21st century. Bailout, ooh, bad stuff here. So you can imagine my upset when we saw this story. And it's linked to the front of whatreallyhappened.com right now, where Barack Obama is now talking about bailing out the newspapers. Because otherwise, blogs will run the world. I mean, I'm not kidding you. This talk about a sign of the fear and desperation and a growing awareness that the government and corporate media have lost control of the minds of the people of the world. Obama basically came out and he's bashing the blogosphere, saying, you know, there is no fact checking, no serious attempts to put stories in context, which is a polite way of saying conform with the government's line of propaganda. And what you will end up getting is people shouting each other across the void and not a lot of mutual understanding. Okay, well, the only people shouting at each other are the planted public relations shills and government operatives. So most of the blog outside of these paid hack jobs are pretty civil. And we are democratic. We are the ultimate expression of democracy. One person, one terminal, and an equal share of the bandwidth. The current media, all in the hands, controlled by just a dozen people, that's anti-democratic. We actually used to have laws in this country that said no one entity can own too much media because it was seen as a threat to democracy. So Obama is engaging in a Orwellian doublethink right here. The idea that the people in general having the ability to express themselves to the rest of the public is somehow anti-democratic, but a corporate-owned media under the control of the CIA via COINTELPRO or financial interests somehow is democratic. And when he says not a lot of mutual understanding, well, we're absolutely correct because we don't understand why we were lied into a war in Afghanistan. We don't understand why we were lied into a war in Iraq. We don't understand torture. We don't understand Guantanamo or Abu Ghraib. We don't understand taking trillions of dollars from the American people and giving it to the banks so they can loan it back to the American people at interest. We don't understand why we have a Federal Reserve when the preceding two versions were kicked out by the government, and it was never supposed to be the way that the country's economy was being run, right from day one. We don't understand any of this, and there is no way to make us understand that which is beyond comprehension. Of course, what's really going on here has nothing to do with context and understanding. What has to do with here is that the government and the media have lost the ability to lie to the people and have it be believed. They are struggling to find some way to drag us all back into the previous century, to the 1950s and 1960s, when they could wave commies at us and be believed, and we would shovel our money into the government furnaces and our children's lives into the body bags just to save us from the godless commies. And they want to go back there. See, here's the problem. Right now, the government knows. It finally has dawned on them that they have lost control. They can't lie to us anymore. They can't lie to us, and because that's all they know how to do, they're stuck. They've lost the trust of the American people. One of the callers into the show the other day said, trust arrives on foot, but it departs on horseback. As far as the federal government and the corporate media is concerned, trust has departed on a dragster, fuel-injected, nitromethane. It's down the track and gone. And they're not going to get it back because they can't start telling the truth. Oddly enough, and I've been saying this for 16 years, the one thing the government could do to save itself and the nation is to stand up there and say, okay, yeah, we were lying to you about TWA 800, Vince Foster, Oklahoma City bombing, all these things. And we're sorry and we apologize. And we're going to seriously reform the government so that this kind of lying is, first of all, no longer necessary. And second of all, you know, we will punish the liars. We'll make it a lie for congresspeople to lie. We'll make it a law for the corporate media to lie to the people. Right now, and that's the amazing thing, and it tells you just how far this country's gone, there is no law that requires the corporate news media to tell you the truth about anything. There was actually a lawsuit involving Fox News where the court said that because there is no law requiring them to be truthful to you, reporters have to lie when ordered to, or they can be legally fired for refusing a direct order by management. Reporters can be legally fired for telling the truth. Boy, talk about just how bad things are getting. Unfortunately, our government is so trapped in its own self-image of righteousness and God told us to go kick the Iraqis and everything. They can't start telling the truth now. And that is why they are doomed. And they're beginning to realize it. And that's why we're seeing these expressions of panic where they're saying, we've got to prop up the newspapers. We've got to get them the corporate media back in control of the American people. And you know something? It's got nothing to do with the whiz-bang technology of the Internet. It has to do with the truth. What the blogs and the alternative media are doing over the Internet today was accomplished using fax machines in the former Soviet Union. And back in the times of Louis XVI and Charles I and Mussolini and Ceausescu, it was being done with printing presses and mimeograph machines and carbon paper. It's got nothing to do with the technology of delivery. It has to do with the people realizing they're being lied to. And once they have that moment, once they have that Rubicon, if you will, where they know they're being lied to, they're going to start looking for the truth. And they're going to go find it wherever it is, whether it's on the shortwave or the fax machines or on two tin cans with a string strung between them or even just meeting each other by the Liberty Tree and talking about things there. And the corporate media tried to get ahead of the ball. They love these football analogies over there in Washington, D.C. They tried to get ahead of the ball by spending millions of dollars on websites. And they've got a decent readership, but the readership doesn't trust them. And that's the important problem here. So now they're talking about taking your taxpayer money because you have had the temerity to refuse to read the government's propaganda sheets. And they're going broke. The government is now going to take more of your tax money to prop up the newspapers that you don't trust anymore. I mean, that is how far that we have come here. Now, I want to read you something real quick. I think we've got enough time. This is a quote from the United States Supreme Court. In the First Amendment, the Founding Fathers gave the free press the protection it must have to fulfill its essential role in our democracy. The press was to serve the governed, not the governors. The government's power to censor the press was abolished so that the press would remain forever free to censure the government. The press was protected so that it could bear the secrets of government and inform the people. Only a free and unrestrained press can effectively expose deception in government. I'll finish the rest of it later, but the short version is very simple. Right now, the blogosphere, the alternative media, this show and the shows just like it, my website and the websites just like it, we are fulfilling the traditional role the corporate media was supposed to be doing and failed to do. And that's why nobody wants to deal with them anymore. So now the government's going to prop them up with your tax money. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When all this twists and steel, what's swept away? Did these remaining holes reveal what?
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Thomas Jefferson once said, the highest duty of any American citizen is to keep themselves fully informed so that they can make good decisions. And what he was saying is, get all the available information. Get all the points of view, get everybody's different idea about what's really going on out there, and then decide for yourself. Don't let somebody in a box tell you what to think. And what Barack Obama, with this comment about bolstering the newspapers and everything, he wants everybody to surrender their intelligence, to abandon Thomas Jefferson, and go back to just being fed what they're supposed to think by the owned, controlled corporate media. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to go back to basically being a slave. That's what it's all about. Dan Rather, just last July, openly admitted journalism in the corporate media has eroded. And it basically, it serves corporate interests and the government. It's politicized, it's trivialized, it's censored, and it presents only one point of view. Now, in a mature republic, you should be able to look at multiple points of view and then decide for yourself what's going on. And for Obama to come out with this idea that they're going to use more of your tax money to prop up the newspapers. I mean, the newspaper is in trouble because people don't want to buy them anymore. So where is the will of the people here? The people are voting with their wallets. We don't trust the newspapers. We're not going to read them anymore and let them go out of business. But no, Obama's going to take your money. In essence, it's a new tax. They're going to force you to support the media because that's the government's point of view. And they're trying to figure out some way to lure you back into trusting the corporate media. It's not going to happen. It's a failed. It's doomed to failure right from the start here. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line. I'm going to get to you in just a minute, but I got to cover this story because this is an example of why the newspapers and corporate media are in decline and why the blogosphere is taking the lead in picking what is important news for people. Okay? Now, apparently the FBI had arrested this guy. Guy from Queens in Denver, they arrested him. They made a big deal about terror. They're basically fanning terror because they're trying to sell you a new war in Iran, and they're trying to remind you that only big brother daddy government can protect you from those nasty, mean old terrorists. So they're trying to basically fan up the idea there are terrorists in our midst and so forth. And so, so they arrest this guy, Iman Ahmad Afzali. And just broke. He's an FBI informant. They bagged one of their own guys out there playing, let's pretend I'm a terrorist to scare the American people into going along with the agenda. It's amazing. I think it was about 3-4 years ago, they busted an Al-Qaeda cell in Palestine. It was all over. Al-Qaeda's in Palestine. This justifies our killing them. And it turned out it was a bunch of Mossad agents. It's all make-believe. It's all pretend. I mean, think about it. These guys in Washington, D.C., they're lawyers, for the most part, and bookkeepers. They don't know how to actually do anything that's useful. So all they know how to do is politic and spin and lie and change the bookkeeping rules to try and keep things going. And that's why we're in such trouble. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Sam in the Netherlands. Aloha, Sam. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Is Sam there?
It's Sam, the pilot. Last time I called from Lyon, France, but that call was a Skype call from a hotel, and that didn't go too well. Anyways, I'll tell you one thing. If the papers go out of business, us pilots are going to have a problem, my friend.
What are we going to do,
you know, on the long flights?
Well, can't you get one of those little, they're doing internet connection in your airplane now. Just get your little iPhone and surf whatreallyhappened.com. On those long overwater flights.
My friend, they will charge you the pilots as well as the passengers for that.
They charge you those heartless Philistines.
I know. Well, if you allow me to get into the spirit of Brother Solomon in Brazil, I'm angry. I'm angry and upset over the whole Israel issue.
We're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore.
Right. First,
mad
the
as
UN
heck.
Report.
Mad as heck. Sorry, FCC. Mad as heck.
First, the UN report, and speaking about the UN, people seem to have a very negative attitude towards the UN, especially in the U.S. Well, how bad can they be if they honestly admit to Israel having nukes? But I digress. We know it's dead on. I mean, the report, right? The 574 pages describes
the Goldstone report. Yeah, well, the Goldstone report didn't talk about Israel's nukes. It basically talked about the war crimes in Gaza And, you know, it was kind of very telling. Yesterday, Netanyahu was saying, you know, if world leaders don't reject the Goldstone report, we'll start exposing their deep, dark secrets in the media. And, of course, 12 hours later, Obama is saying, oh, yes, we reject, we reject. So now we all know that, you know, Israel has got some, the goods on Barack Obama, and they're blackmailing him as well. So thank you, Mr. President, for acknowledging what we all kind of suspected was the case all along.
You were exactly going where I was going, because I was going to say that they basically, newspapers try to even it out, and, you know, they say the 574-page report, basically, you know, both sides committed atrocities. Well, if you read it, you know, 99% of the atrocities are committed by the Israelis, and the 1% committed by Hamas can be seen, you know, in my respect, to the light of, well, if they, as the Israelis are doing it, then, you know, what the hell?
Well, the other part of it is we're not sure. I mean, they're focusing on the rockets fired into Israel. We still don't know exactly who was doing that. I mean, Hamas denied ever actually doing that.
Yeah. Well, and then I have another thing I want to throw at you here, which is Israel, in my opinion, is living for free. And it is the only country run like a central bank scheme. I mean, think about it. The U.S. money, the German money, Dutch, French, EU money, donations, you know, pity money, whatever. I mean, they're living off of others. They're not doing anything. I mean, what are your views on that? And then I would like to add, you know, to me it's not surprising if you realize that the state of Israel, the creation of a central banker, the mother, I mean, the father of the all central bankers, you know, the Rothschilds there.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, yeah, there is no question that Israel takes in vast sums of money through guilt or propaganda or blackmail or whatever. I don't know about the other countries who are feeding money in there, you know, but I know that the total U.S. allocations has worked out to something like $30,000 per Israeli citizen per year. Huge amounts of money. The U.S. citizen has been forced to fork over four times the entire cost of the Apollo moon program to support Israel over the years. And, of course, we're still waiting for our big step for mankind to come out of that expenditure. And, you know, it is this incredible situation. And now we've got this very obvious demonstration where Israel can commit war crimes and then demand that the world ignore it. And Barack Obama turns around and salutes and Dobbins and says, yeah, absolutely, I reject this report. And I understand why Israel's in a panic. There's more than public relations involved here. Because if the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague starts to look into this, the U.S. doesn't have a veto there. I mean, the U.S. can threaten to bomb them or something like that. But it's basically, we're reaching a point where between the war crimes and the panic over that, the refusal of Israel to go along with nuclear inspections requested by the United Nations, it's becoming more and more apparent that Israel's Teflon coating is beginning to peel off.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I'd like to throw in that Germany is paying reparation payments for World War II up and, you know, indefinitely. A few years ago, they got that extended up until 2025.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the German people are being bled. They've paid for, like, three of the Dolphin submarines that Israel now has loaded with U.S. nuclear weapons. Oh, wait, nobody's supposed to know this. And it's just everywhere, everybody on every side. And, you know, here's my point of view from the Germans, okay? The Germans alive today signing these checks were not around during Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany doesn't exist anymore. If you want to punish the Nazis, go punish the Nazis. But all those German people born since then had nothing to do with it. Why are they being forced to pay for it? And the same thing for us Americans. We showed up to stop Hitler. Why are we still on the hook financially to support Israel? It doesn't make any sense, and they're so ungrateful. Hang on, we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. while the rest of us...
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Sam, the pilot, who's currently in the Netherlands. Just a real quick side question. What do you fly? Is Sam there? Okay, I guess we lost Sam here. But getting back to the topic of Israel, and then I know we've got some other callers we need to get to real quick here for this segment. If you go to whatreallyhappened.com and you look down the front and you see, we've all seen these videos, Feeling the Hate in Jerusalem, and Israel's trying to say, well, they were just drunks and everything like this. But there's a new video out there, and it's headlined, I Want to Kill Obama. And it's currently at the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. And you click it. These are stone cold sober people in Israel who are saying it doesn't matter how much Obama has done for Israel so far, he is not doing enough, and they're talking openly about he should be dead because they want somebody in the White House who's going to do more for Israel. Now, if we were going around and saying, I want, you know, I mean, after all the money and support that the U.S. has given Israel, and this is the way they talk about our leaders, I'm sorry, if Obama signs another check to Israel after they talk about him this way, that makes him a world-class schmuck. It really, or schlemiel, even worse. So, go see this video. All right, we're going to go to Dave in North Carolina. Aloha, Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. What can we do for you today?
I was listening to an unknown program that I picked up as I was traveling. And they had on there the author from 1994. The author had wrote a book called The Constitution, Fact or Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And his he was asserting that Roosevelt, under the Emergency Powers Act, had suspended the Constitution in 1933.
Mm-hmm.
And that was never rescinded. And what was really interesting is that they had audio that had Senator John McCain from 1994 called into the program, whatever program it was,
mm-hmm.
and said, your guest is very well informed, and mm-hmm. he is 100% correct. And if you think about it, that makes everything fall into line. It explains everything. How we can have a president from Kenya, how we went off the gold standard, how we have the National Firearms Act of 34 and 86. You know, it just all the pieces fall
okay,
right
well, let
in
me,
line.
Let me insert just a little bit here. What Roosevelt did, okay, nobody ever comes out and says we've completely canceled the Constitution. Obviously, during the Bush administration, we saw where it was constantly being massaged, where they're saying, well, we still have a First Amendment, but we are going to confine it to these free speech zones, which basically eliminates the actual function of the First Amendment. So Roosevelt did, he didn't exactly suspend the Constitution. What he did was he arrogated to himself additional emergency authority by declaring a state of emergency dealing with the economy and then with World War II. Every president since then has renewed the states of emergency, which give them these extraordinary powers. And we've been in a continuing state of national emergency, technically on the books, since 1933. And this gives the president powers that normally he would not be allowed under the Constitution. So when they talk about suspending the Constitution by Roosevelt, what they're really talking about is Roosevelt was able to escape his constitutional limits, and he did so only because the Congress let him get away with it. And this
yeah.
being in the days before the Internet, the American people had no idea what was going on, because the newspapers and radio and TV, well, when TV came along, were simply basically saying, well, this is just the way it's all supposed to be. And, you know, and if you don't agree, then you must be sympathizing with those pinkos and commies and stuff. And it was the same mind control kind of technique. We understand today that presidents going back at least to Nixon, definitely to Roosevelt, but every president since Nixon has been adding to these emergency rules, which are invoked during a national emergency, and every president who comes into office re-extends the existing states of emergency because they want those additional presidential powers, which are not in the Constitution, but which exist
yeah.
because of the prolonged state of emergency.
Well, and then that is still being continued to this day?
Yes.
So, you agree with me that really explains everything. It explains how they've done all this extra constitutional stuff.
Well, it's their legal justification for being able to bypass the Constitution because it's an emergency. It's like Hitler and the Enabling Acts. Same thing with Bush and the USA Patriot Act. They basically say, well, for the duration of the emergency, we need to perhaps not be so concerned about civil rights. Bill Clinton was saying the same thing. We can't be so fixated on the Bill of Rights situation. Every president, every leader wants more power, and they get away with it as long as the Congress lets them get away with it, and the Congress will let them get away with it because we, the American people, have not complained up until this point. Dave, we got to let you go. We got two more callers, and we're almost out of time.
I appreciate it, partner.
You got it. Thank you for the call and calling again. We're going to switch to Rand in Texas. Aloha, Rand. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Well, first, I just wanted to answer a question you proposed a minute ago. You were going, why do the American people keep supporting Israel? I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. And really, I think it makes perfect sense, Mike. It's, the Zionists own the international banks, and they own our media, which serves as the propaganda arm to the bankers. And they, that's how they steer who's going to become president. And if the president mm-hmm. doesn't go along with their agenda, he ends up like JFK with a big hole in the back of his head.
Mm-hmm. Or Andrew Jackson almost did.
And, you know, they know that the American public, you know, that sits there in front of their television with one thumb in their mouth and the other one somewhere else, you know, has been dumbed down to, they're dumber than a corporate hamburger. But what I originally called about,
changing.
I want you to...
That's changing, and that's why Obama's out there saying now they got to bail out the newspapers. They're finally beginning to realize that the old rules don't apply anymore. I didn't mean to interrupt. Please continue.
Oh, no. One thing you mentioned a minute ago, that one of these guys they just arrested turned out to be an FBI agent.
Yeah, they
did. I just find that so hilarious because, you know, it's like every time, I mean, you know what just happened? You got to look at the coinky-dinky involved here, is mm-hmm. that... General McChrystal, who's running the show over in Afghanistan, comes out and says, we need 40,000 more troops and all this money or we're going to lose in Afghanistan. And the very same damn day they arrest these guys that happen to be Afghanis, you know, that are two of them, as I understand, are here legally on visas. And the other one is a naturalized citizen. One was a father-son kind of thing. And now it turns out they're actually working for us. I mean, it's just every damn time they do this, they come up with some little scare tactic to make the American people go,
that is exactly what it is about. Right now, American people are looking around. They're looking at all this money that has been sucked out of their wallets and their lives by the Federal Reserve System and by the federal government. They're asking, what did we pay this all for? I mean, the roads are supposed to be maintained by the state governments. Education is handled by the state and local governments. You know, it's paid for out of property taxes. Road fees are paid for with gasoline taxes, tire taxes, and traffic citations and vehicle registration. What are we getting from the federal government for all this money they take from us? Well, we're getting big, shiny bombs, but I don't want big, shiny bombs in my neighborhood. I want to live in peace.
Don't forget about the new prisons.
Yeah, well, we're getting all those big, new, fancy federal prisons, and we're getting, you know, we're supporting Israel, and we're propping up Wall Street, and now we're going to be propping up the corporate media. But I don't want to pay for any of those things because they're not serving my interests. You know, I mean, and I think a lot of people are saying, what do we even need a federal government for if they are this destructive of our lives and this expensive? You know, the cost-benefit ratio definitely is not there. And so the government is trying to come up with something that will convince us all that we still need them in, you know, to take care of us, whether it's terrorists or swine flu or global warming or all the rest of that. In fact, it's amazing. We got a video today. It's up at whatreallyhappened.com. Al Gore is admitting the agenda behind the global warming hysteria is to justify creation of a global government. They're trying to sell us the necessity of having them, and more Americans are saying, I don't see why they're necessary. Not to me personally. I don't
want
to go...
I just took a trip with my wife and our dog. We drove from Texas. We camped all the way up to the Grand Tetons.
Oh, that's got to be wonderful.
You,
I'm so jealous.
You do not see a clear blue sky anywhere anymore in this country.
Ooh,
and there,
that,
you know how you pull into some of the visiting centers, and they'll have these like permanent plaques outside telling you what kind of, you know, the geological structure of a certain area, like the, you know, the gorge, the Flaming Gorge where we were, and mm-hmm. they'll tell you what kind of flora and fauna is there. Well, now they have these plaques telling you that you never see a blue sky anymore. I think that
okay,
really
we got to let you go. We're at the end of the show. We're still waiting to get our two-hour a weekday show set up, and as soon as I hear about that, I'll share it with you. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go. I had so much more I wanted to talk to you about the Goldstone Report, about war crimes, about all this stuff. We'll take some of it into tomorrow along with whatever tomorrow's headlines are. So until tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Time here on Genesis Communication, stay safe, stay well, drive carefully, eat lots of cinnamon, trust nobody from the corporations and the government, and aloha, America.